Today on Marianne McPartland's Piano Jazz, we are revisiting a program from 1991, remembering one of the greatest jazz bassists of all time, the Judge, Milt Hinton. Not only was Milt innovative on the bass, he worked with just about every jazz star of his day, from Cab Calloway to John Coltrane.
You know, you must have started when you were three, Milt.
Not really, you know. I'm a little older than that.
Well, tell me something.
Okay.
Who are some of the people you played with?
Okay, I'll tell you just some of the people. It goes something like this. I was born in Mississippi in the year of 1910. We moved up to Chicago, and I never got back again. Now, I played with Cab and Louie, with Doc and Streisand, too, with Clark and Press and Dizzy and Marin and some other fellas, too. I jammed with Benny Goodman, with Basie, Duke, and Earl. I toured England with Bing Crosby and the Middle East with Pearl. Now, in 1939, I met Mona. That's my bride. And nothing's been the same ever since. You know, I fell in love. She blew my mind, took the money, and then she went shopping, and I seldom see her since. I even worked with Jackie Gleason and played rags with Hubie Blake. I've been to the White House many times, and that's icing on the cake. I even strolled with Freddie Keppert and Tiny Parham, too. Now I'm the oldest bass player standing. I got shoes as old as you. Now I've had a wonderful time when I was in my prime. Now I'm tired, and I think I'm going to go home.
Oh, Milt, that's wonderful.
Hey, thank you.
You know, I guess the first time I heard you do that was when we were touring in Europe. We had such a nice time, and where the heck were we? Antibes.
Yeah, that's right.
No, wait a minute. It was in Denmark, and we were sitting on the couch with all those press people.
Oh, yes.
And all of a sudden you went into that, and that really kind of relaxed everybody.
Yeah, well, they wanted to ask us some questions, and everybody was a little shy. The guys were shy about asking questions, and I jumped into this thing that my dear friend Dr. David Berger, the co-author of my book, Basslines, wrote this for me, and I think just to tell everybody in rap form some of the things that I've done and some of the places that I've been.
Well, you know, that's one of the best raps I've ever heard. I mean, you can have most of them, but that one is really cute, and it really tells a story. Well, now you... A lot of people don't know this. You actually were born in Vicksburg, Mississippi.
That's true, 1910. That's 81 years ago.
Wow. It's amazing. You know, you've done so much, and watching you when we were on the tour, you have so much energy, and you just love to play, don't you?
I love to play, and I've been extremely lucky health-wise, and that's very important, you know.
Well,
I come from a family. My grandmother was a slave of Joe Davis, Jefferson Davis's father, who was president of the South, and she lived to be 103.
Oh,
my mother lived to be 93. So buying plane wrecks and automobiles, I got a good chance.
Well, you know all the tunes, so you're not going to have any problem. Just keep doing more of the same.
As long as I can play with you, I'm happy.
Well, we did have a good time. But tell me about... life in Vicksburg, Mississippi. I mean, how did you get started playing?
Well, I started in Chicago. See, I moved up to Chicago, and my mother was an organist of a church.
Yeah.
And she wanted me to be a violin player, so I started out playing violin when I was 13 years old. And I worked up until 1929, Al Jolson made the first sound movie. And before that, they had lots of orchestras with violins in it playing for the sound on the stage, because there was no sound on the screen. 1929, when Jolson made the jazz, I think it was the Jazz Singer, or whatever the name of the picture, movie, there was no more needed for violins and orchestras in the pit, because the sound was on the screen. And in Chicago, every violin player lost his job.
Oh,
but jazz
goodness.
Was very prominent. Jimmy Noon was there, and Louis Armstrong was there, General Morton was there, and they had all these combos with bass fiddles in it. And I said, heck, I better get an instrument that I can make a living with. And since the bass is like a violin, it's tuned in fourths, and the violin is tuned in fifths, all you have to do is just back it up a little bit and grow. So that's what I began to do. And later I got to teachers and tried to learn how to play it correctly.
Boy, it's amazing, you know. But before we go any further, let's you and I play something.
Yeah, that's good.
Standing here, you've got the bass, I've got the piano.
Okay.
How about like All the Things You Are?
That's a good tune.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Fun. Listen, tell me about your first book, and then tell me about the new one.
Oh yeah, I've been lucky. For the last 50 years, I've been taking pictures of musicians. Somebody gave me a camera many years ago, an August C3, and it was being introduced on the market for $25. And I
goodness,
that was just thrilled me. And since I was on the road traveling with Cab Calloway, whose band I played in for 16 years. I was traveling all over the country, and I thought it'd be a nice idea to take pictures of musicians in their own habitat, the way I saw them on the bus, sleep, in restaurants, eating, and all that sort of stuff, different situations like that. So I started taking pictures of all these different people, never thinking anything would happen to them, and I filed them away. And I got a young student that started studying with me named David Berger. And he was interested in it. He came like my own son. He was around me all the time. And he didn't inquire about these pictures. He said, "Milt, who is this?" And I said, "Oh, that's Chu Berry. I took that in Atlanta, Georgia." And he started writing and filed all these pictures. And now we have over 50,000 negatives indexed and cross-indexed of all the musicians that I've ever worked with and been around.
Remember the day we all had to go up to Harlem for
That's a great picture.
Famous picture.
Yeah, and I was taking pictures,
yeah,
right?
The photographer took some, but you were taking some on the side.
He was trying to get, the photographer wanted all of a sudden one group up against the steps.
Yes.
But I saw musicians in their own habitat, water seeking his own level. All the piano players and the ladies were together. That was you and Maxine Sullivan and Mary Williams, all standing out there laughing and talking.
Seeking our level. Yeah,
that's right. And all of the drummers were over there in one corner. And I thought this was amazing. So I began to shoot these kind of things with Joe Jones and Gene Krupa and Zooty Singleton and George Wetland and Art Blakey, all these groups. And I got pictures of these guys in this kind of group. And so we finally came out with a book called Baseline with pictures and stories about all these wonderful things.
That's a fabulous book.
Thank you. It's
it
in its
really
second
is.
Printing. And now we've got a new book that's coming out now, and this is called Overtime. It's got all new pictures of different pictures of musicians. I've been trying to photograph and catch all the different group of musicians and the captions in there about who they played with and the nice things that happened to them.
But listen, tell me, like David Berger, you said he was a student of yours. I guess you started taking students years ago.
Yeah, well, he came around. I really didn't really start taking students. I liked to share my experiences and my expertise with other young people. And he kept coming by the house and asking questions, and I started working with him. And he's from a very wealthy family, which I didn't know at the time. I just wanted to, because he was 15 years old, and he gave me $5. He had $5 for his first lesson, and it was a Saturday, and I couldn't take a whole $5 from a kid on Saturday. So I took three and gave him two back.
Oh,
and
that's funny.
Yeah, and I asked him about it later. I found out his father was very wealthy, and they did me some very wonderful favors, and we're still dear friends at this very day.
Isn't he a conductor?
No, not that David Berger.
That's another
that,
David
that,
Berger.
David Goddard Berger is chairman of the, past chairman of the sociology department at Temple University.
Oh, okay.
That's my David
That's
Berger.
That's your David Berger, yeah. Because the other one was the conductor at some of the things you did in classical jazz.
Yes, yes.
Wasn't he?
Lincoln Center, yeah.
In fact, that's so interesting to me.
Yeah.
That you played a concert with Wynton Marsalis.
Yeah, well, Wynton and
with the whole, but I'm thinking to myself, it ranges from kids of 22 and 23 all the way up to you.
To 80 years old guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. That was.
Well, I'm so proud of those young men like Wynton Marsalis and Bradford Marsalis and Terrence Blanchard and the whole group of young ones, Scott Hamilton. I knew these kids when they were young, and I feel very good that they feel like they want to be around me sometimes, and they remember me, and I'm very grateful to them.
Well, Spike, I mean, they should. You're such a great player. Hey, let's do another tune.
Good.
What else
like?
Can we do? Well, let's have a go at My One and Only Love.
Okay.
Are you going to start this out?
Yeah, I think I was trying to start it out. Hang on. Sounds so great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Milt. That's one of my all-time favorite tunes, actually. Hey, let's you and I do another of the good old tunes from the archives.
Okay. Get mine.
But before we go into it, in case I forget, you know, I just want to tell you it's like having jazz history here today. It's just great having you on the show, Milt.
Well, thank you. We got a lot to talk about. We can go back a long ways, and I go back much farther than you, so pick you up along the way, so it's been just beautiful.
We've always got something to talk about. Maybe we'll have more to talk about next time.
Yes, one of my dear friends, Joe Jones, used to say, it's been 90 mice.
He used to say some funny things. Joe Jones, I miss him.
Yes.
Well, let's see. This is How High the Moon, and...
let's make it high class, you know, how high the moon.
Well, let's see how high class we can be.
Okay, let's go at it.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.